Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Dr. Heather Brown. And Dr. Brown is a TEDx speaker and best-selling author of Speaking with the Heart, Transforming Your Relationship and Communication with Compassion and Connection, where she helps people recognize the power of communication. And that's exactly what Dr. Heather and I talk about today. We talk about communication. Obviously, this is covered on many shows, but I really enjoyed the specific framework that Dr. Heather talked about setting up communication for success, that a lot of it happens before the communication even occurs. This is something that I'm certainly trying to work on, and I share some examples of things that I'm doing. And Dr. Heather gives some really great tools for setting up conversations for success. And she also shares some very powerful personal stories from her life. I really enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Heather. I know you guys will too. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Dr. Heather. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
I am honored to be here. Thanks so much.
Today, we're going to talk about the importance of compassion and connection in relationships. So I thought we could start with having you tell our listeners why you like to focus on these things and their importance in relationships. And we'll talk about what compassion means, what connection means in relationships.
I would love to. I think when we think about communication, we think about words and we think about talking. And it's a component of it, but words are created to describe and define a feeling or a thought or an emotion that we're having. And so they can fall a little bit short if you're not allowing the emotion, the intention, the part of you to be beyond it. If I say love, I think something very different than you do, but yet we use the word to describe it. So to me, to have the best conversations you can have, there's a really important component, which is, what is the compassion you have for yourself, for the other person, for the conversation you're going to have? And then also, what's the connection that you create to do so? Most of us kind of jump into a conversation, throw out some words, and we hope it works out well. And what I show people to do is completely the opposite. To start with caring about yourself and caring about the conversation and caring about the other, create connection to find out what's the intention, what's the desire, where are we going, what do you need from me, what do I need from you, how are we going to pace this, and then step into the conversation. Much more receptive, much more willing, much more open, much more aware. And then if I start to veer, you say, whoa, 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 Heather, we were talking about this. Why are we going off here? This is going to be problematic for us. You can help each other move in the direction that you're wanting to have. For some reason, we're not taught these things. And it's so odd. And what I like to tell people is, if you want to make dinner, unless it's something you know how to do perfectly on your own, you pull out a recipe. You don't just open the refrigerator and throw in corned beef and sauerkraut and cottage cheese and milk and mustard and carrots and think, oh, this is going to be lasagna. You follow a recipe. You know what you need. You know how much. You know how long. You go step by step by step by step. And then guess what? You have your meal. But we don't do that in conversation. We just throw it all in and hope it works. And I think it's reckless. And I think it's a missed opportunity. I like to say communication is a love letter if we choose to treat it that way. And that's what I like to show people how to do.
I want to dive into that, and I want to dive into the recipe for good communication. So what I hear you saying is, before we go into a conversation, there's a lot of work that needs to be done setting it up and not just diving in with your analogy of trying to make a meal without a recipe. What does that look like on an individual level before we go into conversation? How should we be thinking? What are some questions we can ask ourselves before we just dive in?
It's a fantastic question. Thank you so much. So absolutely. The first one is, what are you wanting out of this conversation? If you think about that, like, why am I even having this? What's the intention of what I want this to be? Number one, that's going to delineate where you go and how you go quite a bit. Or even if you have it, if the reason I want to have it is just to tell you I'm totally pissed off and vent all over you, but I want you to feel that I love you, I'm going to step into it differently. I'm going to say, hey, I'm in a lousy mood. I just want to vent. I love you. This is probably going to be like pissy to you for me to do this, but do I have your permission? If you say, yeah, Heather, go ahead. Then I'm not going to end up with, well, why are you dumping this on me? And what do you want me to do out of this? So it gives you that information. So why are you having this conversation? Why is it important? Second, is it going to bless the person or the relationship or yourself? If it's not, it's not necessary, or you're not bringing it up in the right way. And a lot of us do that. We step into a conversation without the right energy. And then we think, gosh, why did I do it like that? I should have done it so differently. And you can't go back and undo what you did. So that's problematic. Third, are you really open to what they have to say? If you're not, you want to clarify that before you start, because you're lecturing and you're judging. And that's not a comfortable conversation to have. And then fourth, and people don't think about this, and it's so vital, is this the best time? We step into so many conversations when another person's busy, upset, frustrated, and they don't get all of our attention. Whether you have a religious belief or not, I think that Jesus gives us the best example. He believes he's the Son of God. He knows he's the Son of God. He knocks on the door. He sees if you answer. If you do, he says, hey, I'm the Son of God. I'd like to sit down with you and have a little chat. How about that? You either say, yeah, not interested, close the door and he leaves. Or you say, hey, Jesus, yeah, come on in. But think about what he does. He knows what he wants to say. He knows who he is. He feels there's a benefit to it. He asks you if you're receptive, and he waits for the invitation. That is so key. If you wait for the person to say yes. So let's say you need to have an important conversation with your partner about the car you're going to buy. And you wait and you say, when's the best time? And they say, after work. And they say, okay, perfect. Come to me then. And they say, okay, Chase, thanks for waiting for me. I'm ready now. Let's talk about this car that you want to buy. They've stepped in. And I don't know why we don't do that with conversations. You already can have the person on board with you. And then you find out what it is that they need as well. But it's a huge place of respect. And energetically, it changes it completely, because now you're with me. And then it's not going to be adversarial. People don't think about that. And I think it's a shame, because it changes things tremendously.
I love it. And you're helping people to think about that. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking about myself, and I can be anxious in relationship. And so listeners out there, and I think we're all on a spectrum. We cover attachment theory a lot here. And no matter where you lie on that, there's going to be times when you want to have a conversation with your partner, and pausing to ask ourselves these questions is so valuable, and it's going to be more productive. But I think understanding your attachment style or understanding your partner's attachment style can lend yourself grace and lend your partner grace. And I'm just going, okay, I really feel like I got to talk to my partner about this now. And it's like, okay, that's coming up, and observing it, asking yourself these questions, and then having the understanding that as bad as I want to talk about it right now, maybe when my partner is about to go out the door to work, it's going to backfire. It's not going to actually lead to what we both want, to what I want, is connection and healing. And so it's that recognition. And that's why relationships are hard. And there's such a tool for growth to go, even though I'm screaming inside that I got to talk about this now, it's not actually going to serve me or the relationship or my partner if I force the issue. And I love the metaphor you give with Jesus knocking on the door. It's like, start there. Like, hey, can I come in? Before just like, hey, I want this and this, and this is what's bothering me. It's like, whoa, I didn't even answer the door. You know?
Right. It's key. And there's also another place, and this will make perfect sense to you. if I'm anxious and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about it, and then I come to you like, I can't hold this anymore. I need to tell you, you might not have been thinking about it at all. So you're just sideswiped when I come. And if I really need you to have thought about it, you haven't had time. And a lot of us, I'll put myself in this pocket, if you come at me with something I haven't had a time to think about, I'm not going to say yes quickly because I want to process. Now, I'm probably going to get to yes in a lot of things, but I'm not going to say it immediately. So if you're pressing me, I'm going to say, hey, if you're pressing me, Chase, like, I'm going to say no. Right now, I'm going to say no. If you want to give me time to think about this, if you want me to do the research or look at all the research you're done, I'm game to, but I'm feeling pressured. Now, if you have the invitation, you've talked about, I want to talk about the car, and you both say, okay, great, tonight after work, perfect. And you sit down and have it. Then if I am anxious, I'm going to own that. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm feeling a little anxious because I want this to go well. Here's a golden nugget I'm going to give your readers. What I always tell people is, you are so important to me, and our relationship is really important to me. And you are more important than the topic of the car. I want you to know that. And so if we start to get off, or if you start to get uncomfortable, or if I start to get uncomfortable, let's just take a pause and go back to the truth that our relationship is most important. And what happens to most people, they go, okay, I'm all in. Let's figure this car thing out. You got to get to we. And if you're an anxious person, you want to make certain that you can build that support for yourself. And you want to know you can take a pause if you're feeling overwhelmed. And so that's one of the things that I talk through in a conversation. Like, keep me posted. If you start to get upset, don't understand something. And if I'm with somebody live, because of what I do, I read energy pretty well. And I'll say, ooh, felt like you pulled back there. Would you share with me what happened? And they're like, how can you tell? I'm like, yeah, I can just feel it. But something happened. Was it something I said? Was it a response that you had? Like, I think I lost you there for a moment. And then the person you're talking to realizes, oh my God, you care about me. This isn't just about you. And when you have a relationship like that, or a conversation like that, when you get to those tough places, then you can walk it through together. And if I start to feel overwhelmed, I'll just say, like, give me a moment. Give me a moment. I need to clear my head. And then I'll breathe and I'll get out whatever thought it is, like, you're taking advantage of me, or you don't really love me, or I feel scared, whatever doubt or fear or judgment is coming up in my head. I'll listen to it and then say, okay, I have a little bit of a hard time with the way this is being laid out. Is there a way that we could do this differently where it feels a little bit more balanced, or whatever it is that you have? So if you take that place of hesitation, you know it when you have it, you go, ooh, ooh, and your head starts to spiral. Stop it right there. Take a little pause and say, like, hold on one second. I gotta get my head clear. Or I want to think about this for a second. And then come back and say, okay, I want to make certain I understood you correctly. What I heard you say was, I'm paying for your car. Is that what you said? No, that's not what I said at all. That's not what I meant at all. What I meant to say is, you know, could you, we use your credit card because you get the 5.9% and I'll pay you back. Oh, okay. A lot of times we think we're on the same page and we're not. So it's important to let your partner know, or the person you're speaking with, know when it seems a little problematic.
One of the things that I've found so valuable, and I like this theme of setting up the conversation for success, you know, by making sure we're both ready and available and have the time and space and emotional energy. Like, I almost feel like that's half of the battle of having a successful communication.
It is.
Yeah.
It's why I wrote my book. It is. And for some reason, we don't realize that. And so the conversation becomes all important. But wait, you're having the conversation because you're in a relationship. But we forget to recognize it. And then we just pound it. You're not getting it. You're not listening to me. This always happens. This happened last week. Why don't you care? And we disembark from what is really the truth of our relationship. And so it's very important that you let yourself honor and respect that. And also even deeper, honor and respect that within yourself. I'm going to stay in a place where I'm going to be true to myself. I don't need to do that. I don't need to treat you that way. I certainly don't need to act that way. But I completely agree. Yeah, it's like half of it. And when you learn these things, then people aren't fearful of having conversations with you, or not that much. Because they say, like, we're going to get this resolved 100%. When my daughter used to come into my room, my kids are older, when she used to come into my room, she'd say, like, Mom, I'm upset and we need to talk. And I'd say, absolutely. Do I have permission to offer one thing? And she would always say yes. I'd put up my arms and I'd say, I just want you to know I love you so, so much. And she'd go, Mom. I'm like, yes, yes. Let me hug you. And then I'd hug her and I'd look her face to face and her beautiful little face right there in my face. And I'd say, what do you need, baby? What do you need? What can I do? It's really hard to be angry with somebody wrapped up in your arms. So if you want to love somebody well, have conversations wrapped up in each other's arms, be it physically or literally. But why have a conversation any other way? If you want love from your partner, dear God, you got to give love to your partner. And if you want to love yourself, treat yourself with love in the way that you communicate. And then it changes. It's a beautiful thing.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. You all know I made the switch to Athena razors a few months ago, and I've been loving it. But unfortunately, I forgot my Athena razor over the winter holidays and had to resort to buying a drugstore brand razor. And I can say with confidence, I will never forget my Athena razor again. Revisiting a generic razor left my skin dry and prickly and left me feeling distracted and bothered by irritation. Now that I'm reunited with my Athena razor, I'm back to enjoying a consistently quality shave. I don't think I've ever had a multitasking razor, but this one moisturizes while you shave with avocado oil and hyaluronic acid serum. Plus, it has a built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn. Like me, I know many of you try to make your home a reflection of how you hope to feel. So for this reason, I love that Athena helps me make my bathroom more organized with their thoughtful storage design that leads to an overall feeling of calm and rejuvenation. The razor kit comes with a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, and no more razors falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Plus, I have to mention that the Athena Club Razor Kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let this price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. Products like the Athena Club Razor Kit really go the extra mile to help you feel at home and confident in your skin. Ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code IDO at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving! When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you.
I'm so glad you brought up that example of touch and hugging, because I've found that super valuable. So much of communication is nonverbal. And by setting up the conversation, saying, hey, honey, I really would love to talk to you when you have the time and space, and I had this thing on my mind, and then you guys find the space. And I like to, I don't always do it, but say, hey, can we hug? You know, I just want to connect. And then even when you're sharing, you know, holding each other's hand, because it's kind of hard to talk if you're both hugging. But if you can do that, then great. And that alone, just, and I'm sure on a biological level, it's telling our bodies, like, there's not a threat. You're safe.
100%. Right? 100%. Especially for people who've been abused, or people who've been neglected, abandoned, or people who have anxious attachment. It grounds you. I used to ask my husband, could you hold my knee? And he'd say, what? Like, could you just hold my knee? And it came out of having a childhood where my parents were not available very often in healthy emotional ways, especially when I was upset. So I was just left to deal with it on my own. And so when I'd come into a situation with my late husband that we needed to work through, my anxiety would start to go. Like, are you going to leave me? Are you going to not love me? All the gobbledygook that goes on for the anxious attached. If he would hold my knee, I felt he was there. It told me he was staying. And I also wasn't feeling anger in his touch, because I had felt a lot of anger in touch when I was a child. So if his hand was calm on my knee, it just helped me calm. So ask yourself, like, would having physical touch help? For people who are avoidant, probably not. For people who are attached, probably so. So hopefully it's not avoidant and anxious together, because that can be a little problematic in that area. But then hold yourself. I used to do that a lot. Remember when I was in my master's and I was in the practicum, and it was hard for me. We were doing lots of group processing and it was all out there. And I noticed I would wear a big sweater and I'd pull it over my knees and I would be like rocking. And one day I went, dear God, Heather, you're back in the womb. But that's where I needed to be. And so I had to just let that be okay. But it was my way of, like, staying connected to myself, staying grounded to myself, which was important. Physical touch is so important. So important.
And it's a beautiful way to co-regulate with your partner and to share and to understand for ourselves, like, hey, I had this childhood where I didn't feel safe, and I felt like, you know, my dad would leave me if he got mad at me. And so when we have these conversations, if you just hold my hand, it feels so good. And in sharing that and in being vulnerable, you're building intimacy, you're communicating better in your relationship, you're building a safe container, and the partner on the receiving end hopefully can get to a space where they go, oh, wow, thank you so much for sharing. I love that you shared that with me. And of course, I want you to feel safe. And then it's a constant practice that you're each going to mess up. So when your partner, you know, is cold to you and crosses their arms, and you're like, that's the practice of going, okay, you know, I'm safe. And then regulating ourselves. And as you said, you know, comforting yourself. I think so often our initial response is to point to our partner to make us feel safe. And certainly we want a safe relationship, but it really starts with ourselves and understanding why we feel so anxious. And that's been so valuable for me in understanding my attachment style and then learning to regulate myself.
Well, and the beauty of that, and I have a whole chapter on attachment style in my book, and I talk a lot about creating safety and triggers and all of that, because it's just so important for all of us, what you've grown through. And there's exercises about sharing old memories that were hard and sharing old memories that were comforting. I talk about how do you soothe yourself, which most of us don't really know. And what does your partner need when they are angry or when they're scared or when they're worried? Because we don't always know. There's this glorious thing that happens when you have gone through things in your life that have been really painful. And then when you choose a partner who's healthy enough to stand with you in a different place, you fear that you're in the same situation you were in before. And there's that place of, oh God, it can't be the same. And then where you internally decide, what do you do with that? Just like you said, if you share and you talk about it, you help yourself heal and change from the history that you've had. And this is where relationships can become sacred and blessed. Your partner doesn't do the healing for you. And it's important to be very clear about that, because otherwise you become dependent on the partner. The partner doesn't do the healing for you, but they can create such a beautiful place of holding, a very, very safe container for you to process. And what happens is you start to realize that your reality can be different now than it was before. And as you do that with your partner, or as you do that in situations, you create a new belief system for yourself, a new reality. You're not connecting to that old rut that was, I'm always abandoned. Now I haven't been. I didn't abandon myself. You didn't abandon me. So that creates a new possibility for you. And you cut that cord. And that is powerful. It doesn't mean it won't happen again at some point, but you've moved away from the, this always happens to me. And now you have a different reality going forward. And that person has been very important in helping you find that for yourself. And I'd give a whole bunch of credit to yourself. And then I would give a lot of love and compassion to the partner, because they've been able to give space and room for you to do that work. I remember I had a flashback. I was molested, and I had a flashback kind of early on with my late husband. I knew I was going to have it. I remember one day we were sitting in the car and I said, I'm afraid I'm going to have a flashback. And he said, have you ever had one? And I said, no. And he said, okay, well, why do you think you're going to have one? I'm like, because I can feel it, which I think was a gift that my body was telling me this. Maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, he's laying on top of me. We're totally clothed, full on flashback. And it's my dad on top of me. And I just lost it. And I flung him across the room. 6 foot guy flying through the air, lands in the car, I'm like, don't touch me. I for sure was psychotic in that moment. And he was in the corner cowering. And I'm like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, it's a flashback. It's a flashback. And he's like, okay. I'm like, shh. And then what I did is I walked him through. I'm like, okay, you can come to the side of the bed, but don't touch me. So he did. And then I said, okay, you can put your arms on my knee, but nothing more. So he did. And then I'm like, okay, you can put your arms on my shoulders, but no groping. And so he did. And then I just melted. And we both sobbed. And I remember I looked into his eyes and he looked at me and he said, what did he do to you? And it was one of the most beautiful healing moments for me, because I realized I am now with a man who cares. And when I say no, there was a no. I hadn't had that voice. My dad had done what he wanted to do. And then at other times, I didn't know I could have a voice. So I had to learn I could. But in that moment, I realized I am important. You're not a threat to me. And things changed dramatically for me. It's a hard moment when you're one of those places. But being honest with yourself and letting your partner know what you're asking of them is very important. Now, if he hadn't have listened, I would have dealt with it, but my outcome would have been different. And my outcome was, you really care. You really care. And that was beautiful to have.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's what happens when you're willing to share what you've been through, what you're wanting to have in this new relationship. And when the other person truly does care for you as well, you don't want to do that, you know, on date 3 or date 5. You want to make certain that that person has the bandwidth, has the desire, has the compassion, and truly cares. And moments like that change you forever, forever.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estrocontrol. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrocontrol contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrocontrol eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrocontrol was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estrocontrol is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estrocontrol works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Thank you for sharing that powerful experience. And Yeah, it just goes to the beauty of relationships and healing that can happen in a safe space. And having these tools and awareness around it from within ourselves, and then the partner having awareness and operating from that place is so valuable. I wanted to revisit something that came to mind with asking ourselves what we want to get out of a conversation. And one of the things that I really enjoyed this book, The Courage to Be Disliked. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And one of the big things I took away from that is the idea of external control. And what is it that I'm trying to get out of a conversation? And often I find, and I can only speak for myself, but in my past, that if I had communication, it was to try to control a situation that was making me uncomfortable. So if my partner had done something that made me uncomfortable, I would communicate something. And sometimes underlying that would be a desire to get them to behave in such a way that would make me feel okay. And obviously, we want to communicate when we need to, but it's so important, I have found, to go, all right, what is my desire in communicating this thing to my partner? I'm asking them to change. And obviously, there's things that we need to communicate and that aren't healthy. But so many times, I think it's, if we sit with it, we go, oh, okay, I'm just trying to change them. And the understanding that we should not be trying to change our partner. We can communicate how we feel and make requests. And I like nonviolent communication for this and that kind of framework. But can you talk a little bit about that line between having a communication with our partner and making sure we're not in that just trying to control them so that we feel okay?
Absolutely. And it's a great question. So if you must have an outcome, and sometimes we need to, then it's up to you to make certain that can happen, not your partner. Because you are here to live the life that you are to live in the way that you want to live it, and to keep yourself safe in whatever way that is to be. So when you're aware of that, it moves it into, I've got a big request to ask of you. And I would own it. It's a big request. You might not be willing, and I'm going to have to deal with that. I really hope you are, because it would be a whole lot easier for me if you were. I would like to ask if you would be okay with whatever it might be, because it would be easier for me to be with you if I'm not going through. I'll just make an example. I would like to make a request that before you invite people over to the house, that you let me know. I think that's respectful. And that way I can be in a state of mind to know that people are coming. You don't have to. You don't have to. But I don't know if I'm going to want to stay at a house where I don't have any say about that. What we tend to do is say, you can't do that. You can't invite people over to the house. Who do you think you are? Like, I wouldn't do that to you. Why would you do that to me? Well, unless you have the agreement. And so what happens a lot of times is we have expectations. We have demands that we have not verbalized. So it's not acceptable because you haven't talked it through. That would be something that would need to be an agreement. Are we in agreement that we're going to let each other know before we invite people over to the house? And if your partner says 100% not, can't, I have the kind of life where I just want people to drop by whenever they want, then you're going to have to decide, are you okay with it or not? But if I'm asking you to do something because it makes it easier for me to be with you, it's important that I share that, because it's not just me wanting to change you because I just randomly want to change you. It's because it's hard for me to feel comfortable and at home, and like we can make love or do whatever it is we want to do. People might be knocking on the door. So could we have this conversation? If I need you to do it, that's on me. That's not on you. I don't have that right to tell anybody else how they have to be. I do have the right to say, this doesn't work for me. And a lot of times when you tell somebody, it's a little difficult for me. I'll give you an example. So my mom was a paranoid schizophrenic. She killed herself. I don't find jokes about suicide funny. I don't. I've never laughed at a suicide joke. And so kind of a thing in 20s that sometimes people tease about. And so I remember telling my late husband, I'm never going to joke about this. I'm never going to laugh about this. If you want to have a conversation that's like jokey in this vein, please let me know because I want to leave the room. And so I wasn't a part of those conversations. I didn't say he couldn't talk, couldn't say that. I didn't say he couldn't have those kinds of jokes or that kind of humor. I just chose to not be a part of it. And there's a place in relationship of I need to respect me, but I also need to respect you. And part of me respecting you is removing myself if this is uncomfortable for me. We tend to do the opposite. We say, you stop, instead of if you're not willing to stop, then I need to remove myself because I'm the person who's displeased. You're fine with me staying with you joking about suicide. I'm not. So ownership for yourself, we don't really do that. We decide the world should be the way we want the world to be and that we've got the right to tell people how they are to be. And then we blame everybody else. You made me feel this way. You triggered me. You can't do this. I had an adult daughter and her mom come to my office and the mom was really upset with the daughter and she was very verbal. And the girl literally said to her mom, you can't yell at me. You have no right to yell at me. You can't do that. And it was my first session with them. And I just sat for a little bit and I waited. And then I said to the daughter, I said, I'd like to share something. And she said, what? And I said, your mom can yell if she wants to. She's a grown-up woman. She can yell at whomever she wants, whenever she wants. You don't have to stay if she yells. But I think it would work better if you're not telling your mom how she's supposed to be. I think it would serve you better if you would let her know how you can stay with her and be with her and how you will remove yourself if it doesn't serve you. And that changed things dramatically, but we don't really do that. We tell the other person. Then we get caught in this whole stupid battle of, you can't tell me what to do and who the hell do you think you are and you think you're better than me and all this gobbledygook. Instead of just saying, you know what, this feels really uncomfortable. I just need to leave the room. I don't want to have this talk. And if the person goes, well, no. No, I want to have the talk. Like, what can I say for you to stay? Guess what, guys? Agreement. Like we're moving back into agreement. We're moving back into invitation. It's a key. It's a beautiful, beautiful key. It's not about exclusion. It's not about judgment. It's about how do you get to places of agreement? How do you get to places of inviting? And when you find yourself cultivating something that's not of that, question it. Like this probably isn't going to go well. I'm telling you, you're a horrible person and I hate your guts. This probably isn't going to be I've never in my life had someone go off on me and think immediately in my head, oh, I love you. I love you, you poor sweet thing. Let me care about your feelings. I've had to work really hard to learn anybody who's screaming, yelling, judging, attacking in that moment needs love. They sure as heck aren't giving it. And they need a whole bunch of love. Sometimes I can stay and offer it. Oftentimes, I need to separate myself and just offer love energetically. But anytime you're around or yourself, where it's attack, judgment, belittling, blaming, it's all from a lack of love for self, for you, for conversation. Every single essence in life can be better with more love. This is my viewpoint. And it starts with us loving ourselves.
Amen. And I think it's so powerful and important and spiritual and deep when we start to understand that we are the architect of our lives and of our relationships. And it's such a powerful place to come from with those examples. And it's something I've realized more recently and trying to implement of that it's not the other people that are making me feel this way and that I have the power to decide what is acceptable or not. And within that, that my communication is not to tell everyone how they should treat me so that I'm okay. Because when we do that, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because if you have to change that other person, because there are toxic relationships. And I think a lot of times we're in them and we love that person, or maybe just the sex is fiery and everything else, there's no respect and this and that. And so we just communicate and we're like, this is how I want you to treat me. You know, when you do this, even if you're doing it like from a really great place of communicating in an adult way with the time and space. But the reality is we're trying to change them so that we feel okay, so that we have the relationship we want, and they have to change on their own. And if we're trying to do that so much, they're their person. They're on their own journey. And so for me, wrapped up in that is acceptance and accepting our partner, our father, our mother, our friend for exactly who they are in that moment. And then deciding, do I want to be in relationship with them or not? What are my boundaries? I'm going to communicate that. Do they keep crossing it? Okay, maybe that's not the relationship for me. I don't need to keep trying to change them. And I think it's such an important point that you've laid out and that I'm emphasizing here, because I've realized that I've spent a lot of time and energy in different relationships with friends, family, romantic partners, and going, oh, I want to learn how to communicate well. And if I can just do it good enough, then we'll be okay. Then the relationship will be okay. And there's certainly things we want to be able to do and communicate in good ways, but there is a point that we need to understand and accept that person exactly as they are. And also that maybe how they are is not right for me. And that's such a big thing, but I want to thank you for highlighting it.
It's a hard truth. When I met my husband, he was a hoarder. And I like to say collector because it's kinder. He was a hoarder. And it was a battle. It was a battle because I'm not minimalist, but I'm not a collector. And, you know, I'd plead and I'd beg and I'd cry and I'd get angry because I didn't like living with all that stuff. And I remember one day God slammed me on the side of my head and he said, Ted doesn't have a problem being a hoarder. And I went, wait, what? And God said, Ted doesn't have a problem being a hoarder. And my whole head opened up and I went, oh dear God, it's me. And I went to him. This was so hard. It was so hard for me. I went to him and I said, I owe you the biggest apology. He said, for what? And I said, I do. And I 100% don't with you being a hoarder. But I told you I do. And I really want you to change. And you haven't. And I have to decide right now. Do I accept you being a hoarder? And I did. And it didn't mean it was all fine and rainbows. It was still really hard for me. And we had some agreements, like not in the living room, not in the kitchen, not in the bedroom, not in the bathroom. It was like the garage, his car, his office. But I had to look at the fact that I was not accepting him as he was. And it wasn't that he was being a hoarder to piss me off. He truly was. Now, do I think it could have changed? Quite honestly, yes. But that's because I'm not a hoarder. For him, it didn't. It was controlled, which helped a lot. But there's an important place. If you're telling someone you're in the relationship, you're saying you're in the relationship as they are. And they're not at fault and they're not at blame for being who they are. So there's the place of really looking at, do I receive you as you are? Am I willing to? And if not, then I got to step out because I am not loving you. I am not receiving you. That's not your problem. That's mine. You're you, whatever that might be. But it's up to me to decide, do I choose to be with you as you are. If there's a whole bunch of things that have to change to make it happen, you want to think about it. A couple of things here and there, sure. But if the person needs to change drastically, think about it. You're telling them to be somebody they're not. It's probably not going to really happen very well. And who are they then, really? But you're right. We want people to be different so it's easier for us to get along with them. It's pretty egotistical. And we all want it because it'd be easier. It'd be easier if the world just was the way Heather wants everybody to be. It'd be way easier. But you know what? Truthfully, truthfully, we'd get bored. We'd get bored and we wouldn't feel passion because passion comes with unexpected. Passion comes with something beyond. If everything was just the way Heather would want it to be, I'd be happy for a short period of time and then I'd get really bored. I wouldn't be challenged. There'd be nothing beyond what I'd done. Like I might as well be done with life because there's nothing beyond what I can create. Nobody really is an asset to me. They're just agreeable. And as humans, like we want to grow. We want to change. We want to impact. So to be fine, I think a lot of us would be so bored. And I think we get angry because there's no fire to that. There's no excitement to that. There's no creativity to that. My son was really young. He said he wished every day was Christmas. And I, you know, I laughed and I gave him a hug. I'm like, Christmas is magical, isn't it, Mac? He's like, yeah. Like, you know, I'm really glad it's not every day. He goes, why? So I get so bored opening presents all the time. I don't want another game. I don't want another sweater. I don't want more turkey. I said, I really, really like the fact that I look forward to it and I'm excited about it. So be careful what you ask for.
Yes. Yes. I love it, Dr. Heather. Thank you so much for this conversation. I took down a lot of notes and I think we touched on some really important and key points for myself and for our listeners to think about. So thank you. And for all the personal stories you shared, I love specific examples and stories. I think that helps people frame things in their own lives. And we're all just trying to do this better. And you've certainly given a lot of great tips and tools to do so. So before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? And then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. And it's been such an honor. Thank you so much for having me. You're a lovely host. So I really enjoyed this time. The easiest place is my website. It's just kind of like the hub of Heather. So www.drheatherbrowne.com. And you'll see my newsletter, my courses, my psychotherapy, my book, my TEDx, my newsletter, my freebies. So feel free to check it out. Or if you guys had questions that popped up that you just want to run past me, please pop me an email. I'm more than happy to engage with listeners if they need something in some way. But it's been an honor. You're a beautiful, beautiful soul. And I'm so glad I had the opportunity to spend this time with you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Heather. We will have those links in our show notes and on our website. And thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.